Blog Talk Radio.
To the mighty Elohim, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Elohim of the world, whose name is Yahweh, giving all praises and all glory and all honor unto the mighty King, who is the only King, and who is the only Judge, and the only Lawgiver and Redeemer, and Savior of Israel and the world, whose name is Yah and Yahweh alone. We welcome you again to another broadcast of nothing but the truth. Here at the House of Israel of Cincinnati, located at 1907 Vine Street. I'm your host tonight, More Ishyah of the House of Israel of Cincinnati, bringing you nothing but the truth. I'd like to say shalom to all of our viewing audience on Facebook, YouTube, and listening audience on Blog Talk, wherever you may be tuning into us right now. We know that the only reason you are listening to the words of Yah is because your great fear towards the Most High. And we're going to speak about Yah's truth tonight. And who is Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heavens and earth and the sea and of all that in them is. Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh is the one who delivered us his holy book, which you know as the Old Testament, but what Yahweh has called the Book of Yah. The scriptures of truth, the Book of Remembrance. He's delivered us this word. And in Yah's word, we know that everything that has happened, everything that is happening, and everything that will happen to the children of Israel is in his book. And Yahweh is the only Elohim and the only Savior, and there is none else beside him. And I'm honored to be able to bring to you Yah's word on the subject of the seven signs of darkness. And we've heard about all six signs of darkness in the last week. And it has been an eye-opening experience to learn that Yahweh is exactly who he said he is. And who did Yahweh say he is? Yahweh said this in the book of Isaiah, the 45th chapter. And we need to understand that knowing about the seven signs of darkness is teaching us about Yahweh. Because Yahweh is not a make-believe deity. Many religions, especially the Christian religion, will have you believe that the dealings of darkness, the dealings of evil, and the things that are done that create hurt and harm in the world have nothing to do with the Almighty. Yahweh is the only Elohim. And this is what he says in the book of Isaiah, the 45th chapter. And why am I taking you to the 45th chapter? Because as we've been hearing, Yahweh has order. And Yah's order is seven, meaning there's only seven orders, seven steps, 7 days, 7 months, 7 years, 7 weeks. Yah's order is seven. Anything Yah does that's going to be complete, that's going to be whole, is going to have that seven stamp on it. And all numbers are in the confines of Yah's seven orders. I know you taught numbers are infinite, and numbers are infinite as far as I've seen, but Yah's order is finite. Because after his order is complete, you just have to start over again. You can't keep on going on and on and on. There has to be structure. And in Yah's order, there's seven orders. And any number you look at falls under the confines of one of those orders. And the 45th chapter of Isaiah is in the order of three. And what does three represent? The third represents Yah's servant. It also represents holiness, Yah's holiness. And why wouldn't Yah's servant be holy? But if it represents holiness, it's also going to have to deal with the unholy. And in Isaiah 45, in the third verse, Yahweh says, "And I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden treasures of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, Yahweh, which call you by thy name, am the Elohim of Israel." Now, who is he talking to? Look who he's talking to. In Isaiah 45:1, Yahweh says, "Thus saith Yah to his anointed, to Cyrus." Now, how is Cyrus a heathen? Cyrus, another nationality. Cyrus, a Persian king, the anointed of the Almighty, a man who is recorded to be an idol worshiper, who did not serve Yah and Yah only, yet Yahweh called him his anointed. Why would Yahweh call him his anointed? Because he anointed him to do a job. And Yahweh said to Cyrus, his anointed, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Why is he doing this for Cyrus? And I will give thee the treasures of darkness. Why isn't he giving him the treasures of light? Because the treasures of the light are set aside for Yah's holy ones. But see, Cyrus had a task to do, and he was received the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, Yahweh, which call thee by thy name, am the Elohim of Israel. Because only the Elohim of Israel can give you the treasures of light or darkness, and darkness, and of secret places. Verse 4, "For Yaakov, my servant's sake." And who's Yahweh's servant? Yaakov, Jacob. And what chapter are we in? The 45th chapter, which is in the order of three. "For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have called thee by thy name." So why did Yahweh raise up Cyrus? To serve him as his anointed? For his servant's sake. Why did Yahweh use Cyrus to tear down kingdoms? For his servant's sake. He said, "I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. There is no Elohim beside me." Yahweh has let us know that only the only Elohim can do these things. If there was another deity, another Elohim, that can do the things the Most High can do, then there wouldn't be anything special about them. That's why, you know, these deity and idolatry religions that have a pantheon of gods that can do all sorts of different things, they're not special anymore. They're not unique. And they can't call themselves holy. They're not set apart from something else. They're not peculiar, because they all can do these so-called things. But once you investigate them, you see that they can't do nothing. It's nothing but mythology, folklore, fictitious stories. But Yahweh is the only Elohim. And there is no Elohim beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none else beside me. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. Look what Yahweh says in verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, Yahweh, do all these things. So we see Yahweh is not a one-sided Elohim. Yahweh is the complete Elohim. And he would have to be, since he said he's the only Elohim. That means the world is not given into the hands of the devil. That's what they want to teach you. That's what they want you to believe. They want you to believe that the world belongs to the devil. The world belongs to Satan. The world belongs to Lucifer. And all three of those statements are a lie. The world, the heavens, and the earth, and all that therein is, belongs to the Most High. And he created it all. He created, as he said, the light and created darkness. Yahweh said he makes peace and creates evil. I, Yahweh, do all these things. So just to let you know that the last sign of darkness that we're dealing with today is the third sign of darkness, the order of three. And we see right here in Isaiah 45, which 45 is the order of three, we see how Yahweh does and what Yahweh does for his servant, because the third represents Yahweh's servant, Yahweh's holy servant. And we see that Yahweh will even open up treasures of darkness to somebody that he will use to make sure his servant will be able to go free. Because it is Cyrus that sent Israel home after the 70 years were completed in Babylon. It is Cyrus who Yahweh used to conquer Babylon and all the nations round about to become ruler. Go with me also to the book of Genesis. We're going to go to the third chapter. We're going to see what this third sign of darkness is all about. In Genesis, the third chapter, the first verse, it states, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which Yahweh Elohim had made." Why are we talking about a serpent being the most subtle beast of the earth? in the third chapter. Was not the third day the day that Yahweh made the earth? Is it not the third chapter we're seeing and we're reading about the most subtle beast in the field? And Yahweh Elohim said, and he said, the serpent, he said unto the woman, yea, hath Elohim said, ye shall not eat of every green, of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. And what day were the trees made? On the third day. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, said the woman. But of the fruit, third verse, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, ye shall, Elohim have said, ye shall not eat, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And we need to understand that Yahweh brought things to life on the third day. As a matter of a fact, on the third day is the first time he brought something to life on earth. He made the light on the first day. He made the heavens on the second day. But on the third day, he made the grass and the herbs yielding seed with had the seed inside itself, and the fruit tree yielding fruit with the seed inside itself after its own kind. This was the first time life was made on earth. So if that's what's going on in the third, what also has to happen? The opposite of life. And what's the opposite of life? Death. And if you eat of the fruit of the tree which Yah told you not to eat of, the punishment is death. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall surely not die. For Elohim doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as Elohim, knowing good and evil. And of course we know that we ate of the tree. And of course we know we die. And look in the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. In Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, we'll see another indication and more explanation of this sign. In Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, I'll start reading in the first verse. And notice we're in the third chapter. And we're dealing with the book of Ecclesiastes, which if you know the order of the books of the scriptures, Ecclesiastes is the book of the order of three. And in the third chapter, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, second verse, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, third verse, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. Now, is it coincidence that the third chapter of Ecclesiastes in the third verse would mention that there's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up? What do you think Yah's servant does? What do you think Yahweh used his servant to do? What do you think Yahweh did for his servant and does with his servant? You will see throughout the scriptures, when Yahweh's dealing with his servant, there's going to be a time of killing and a time of healing, a time of breaking down and a time of building up. And let me show you. Go to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. In Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, I'm going to start reading at the first verse, but the third verse is what I want you to pay attention to closely. Verse 1 says, "But now thus saith Yahweh that created thee, O Yaakov, and he that formed thee, O Yisrael, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am Yahweh, thy Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Cush and Seba for thee." What does that mean? That means in the third verse of this chapter, we see Yahweh making a difference for his servant, as he did with Cyrus. He's letting you know he is your Holy One. And he gave Egypt and Cush and Seba for your ransom. Meaning he destroyed these nations for you. And since he destroyed these nations for you, you're his. This is what he does. Didn't it say is a time to kill and a time to build up? A time to break down and a time to heal? Well, he broke down and he killed these nations to deliver his servant, Israel. Let me show you another scripture that exemplifies exactly what I'm showing you. Go to the book of Exodus. We'll begin in the 11th chapter. In Exodus chapter 11, we're going to see what Yahweh says about the 10th plague. Now, why is the 10th plague being brought out? Why are we going to talk about the 10th plague that Yah brought upon Egypt? Because 10 is in the order of 3. The 10th plague is the same as the order of 3. And so that means it's something holy. Something dealing with his servant. Something dealing with killing and healing. Breaking down and building up. But when you're dealing with the darkness, it's going to be dealing with killing. And in Exodus, the 11th chapter, it says, "And Yahweh said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And Yahweh gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover," now don't you see? The Egyptians was losing their stuff. But we were gaining some stuff. "Moreover, the man Moshe was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of all of the people. And Moses said, thus saith Yah, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. Why at midnight? Why did he have to go out at midnight? Why didn't Yahweh say he was going to go out at midday? Because this is not dealing with the light. This is what is dealt with in the night or the darkness. At midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Is this a coincidence? Is this a happenstance that I said to you that the third is dealing with Yahweh's servant and who he will kill for his servant? How he will break down a whole nother nation for his servant, tear down and deal in the mysteries of the darkness for his servant. And you see that Yah said in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, in the third verse, that he gave Egypt for your life. And here we're reading in Exodus, the 11th chapter, the 5th verse, where Yah said, in all the firstborn in the land, throughout the whole land of Egypt, shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry out all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall there be like it any more. Why? Because it's holy, it's sacred, it's set apart, it's different from everything else. You won't hear nothing like this again. You won't see nothing like this again. Because Yahweh was making a difference and he was setting his servant aside. But when you're dealing in wickedness, you have to get dealt with in the ways of darkness. And this is what Yahweh did to this country, to this nation. Verse 7 says, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. Against man or beast, that ye may know how Yahweh does put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Why is he putting the difference? Because this is his servant. Because this is the 10th plague, the order of three. And he has to show that this is a time to kill the Egyptians. But it was time to heal his servant. It was a time to bring down the Egyptians, but to bring up his servant. In verse 8 says, and all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee. And after that, I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And Yahweh said unto Moses, behold, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh and Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's And Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. And we're going to go right on to chapter 12, because I want you to see what Yahweh says about this plague and about this time. In chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take unto them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." Now let me show you about the plague, about the actual occurrence. We'll go down and pick up our reading in verse 21, where it says, "Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you out a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning." So while the Egyptians had no protection at night, the children of Israel were given instructions on what to do at night, for the night, in the darkness. And they had to strike the lintel and to the two side posts of their door with the blood. Three areas. Why three? Verse 23, "For Yahweh will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Yahweh will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you." The destroyer sent out at night. "And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come into the land which Yahweh will give you, according as he has promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, This is the sacrifice of Yahweh's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head in worship. And the children of Israel went their way and did as Yahweh had commanded. Moshe and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass," verse 29, "at midnight, Yahweh smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle." When did he do this again? At night, at midnight, Yahweh did exactly what he said he would do. "And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead." Yahweh killed the firstborn of the whole nation for his servant. Did not it say that there's a time to kill? And you see the time to kill and what the killing is for. Yahweh will separate his servant. And if he has to, as he has shown, he will come through at night in the darkness and separate his servant. He will show a king the treasures of darkness and the hidden treasures and secret treasures of hidden places in order to raise up this king so he could let his people go free. And in verse 31 it says, and he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve Yahweh as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we all be dead men. And the people took of their dough before it was leavened, and their kneading troughs, being bound upon their clothes and upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed from the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And Yahweh gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And as you can see, Yahweh's word does not come back void. If he said it, he's going to do it. And as he said, in the third, in the season, or in the time of the third, you're going to have Yahweh separating his servant from the wicked. The wicked will be separated from his servant. Let me show you some more. Go to the book of Jeremiah, the first chapter. In the 10th verse, why the 10th verse? Of course, because we're dealing with the sign of the third of darkness. And what goes on with this sign of the third in the darkness or the night? What is happening? In Jeremiah 1 and 10, it says, see, I have set this day. See, I have set this day, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down. You see, the first four things he told Jeremiah in the 10th verse that he has to do is to root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, and then he could build and plan. Because this is what is done during the sign of the third. This is what's going on with the darkness. Also, go to the book of Daniel, the third chapter. The first verse, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. That's 60 cubits. And the breadth thereof, 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried out aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, that ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations and languages, fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Yehudim. They spoke and said unto the king of Nebuchadnezzar, O king, spoke unto Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. And look at verse 10. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man should hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Why is it that in this third chapter, we're reading about the consequences of not worshiping this wicked image? What is this wickedness being done? And if you don't worship the wicked image, then you're supposed to die. And whoso, verse 11, falleth not down and worshipeth, I read that verse, verse 12. There are certain Jews or Yehudim whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy deities, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my deities, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, sackbut, harp, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the fiery furnace. Who is that Elohim that shall deliver you out of my hands? In this third chapter, you see Nebuchadnezzar challenging the Elohim of Israel by challenging his servants. He wants everyone to serve his image. Why does he want everybody to serve his image in the third chapter? Why is it that he's challenging Yah's servants in the third chapter? And what does Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say? Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our Elohim, who we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy deities, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and said, and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded that the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them out into the burning fiery furnace. And these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, in their hats, and in their garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame and the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, why three men? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste and spoke and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see these four men. I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the son of Elohim. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High Elohim, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. You see, even though darkness and death and destruction was prescribed to these three servants of Yah, they overcame it because they had faith in the Most High. They trusted the Most High, and they didn't fall to the image set up. They didn't serve, and they didn't walk in the ways of the darkness. What they did do is serve Yah and separated themselves unto the Most High. And what came about from their service of the Most High? Even though Nebuchadnezzar was dealing in darkness. Verse 28 says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the Elohim of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any Elohim except their own Elohim. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the Elohim of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other Elohim that can deliver after this sort. And what happens in this third sign, in this order of three? If you're dealing in the order of three and in the sign of darkness, somebody's going to have to die for Yah's servant's sake. Somebody's going to be taken down for Yah's servant's sake. That's what's going on. Look what Yahweh said in the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, the 16th chapter, look at verse 4. It states, Yahweh hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Yahweh made everything, even the wicked. And what did he make the wicked for? The day of evil. And what did he make his servant for? To glorify him. So if the wicked would like to triumph over Yah's servant, would like to deal in evil on Yah's servant, they surely are going to see what that brings. Type of darkness comes about. As Yahweh said, he gave Egypt and Saba and Ethiopia for your ransom. And when did he say that? In Isaiah 43 and verse 3. Because it's all throughout the book that the third sign of darkness, somebody or some nation is going down in order to bring up Yahweh's servant. I also want to take you to the book of Jeremiah. And I want to start at the 20th or 51st chapter, the 20th verse, where it says, "Thou art my battle axe and weapon of war, for with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces the man and woman, and with thee will I break in pieces old and young, and with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and the yoke of oxen, and with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers, and I will render," verse 24, which the 24th happens to be the order of three, "and I will render unto Babylon all the inhabitants of the Chaldees, all their evil that they have done in Zion, in your sight, saith Yah." Why would he tell you that in the 24th verse, which is what? The order of three, that he will bring down Babylon, evil they have committed in his servant's sight. Why? Because Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, the third verse, already told you, there's a time to kill and there's a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. And Yahweh is showing us throughout the entire book that his time and his order is established. Just look in the book of Ezekiel. I believe I want the 24th chapter. No, not the 24th chapter. Maybe it was the third chapter. Go to Ezekiel, the third chapter. In Ezekiel chapter 3, we're going to start reading at verse 10. "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go, get to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith Yahweh, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard of behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of Yahweh from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of the great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand hung upon me. Then I came to them and dwelt of them that dwelt in the captivity of Tel Aviv, and they dwelt by the river of Kivar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass, at the end of 7 days, that the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, in the 17th verse, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. Now what warning? What's the warning? And why are we reading about Ezekiel's service in the third chapter? Of course, because the third is representing Yah's servant. But what warning? Verse 18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thy hand. So if he is his servant, and he doesn't give him light, but he lets the darkness take him over, he's going to die. Because that's the sign of three for darkness. But the servant will die also, because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. See, if you don't follow Yah, you're not following after light. You're following after darkness. And if you follow darkness, the ends thereof is death. Not just for the person that's doing wickedly, but for the servant that should have warned of the wickedness. It's always going to remain consistent in that manner. Also, go to the book of Zephaniah, the third chapter. In the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3. Let's start reading. Verse 5. The just Yahweh is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. Why? Because they don't see what they're doing as evil, because they have no light. You see, Yahweh said every morning he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust who don't heed judgment, who don't do what's right, they don't know how they look in the light. They don't even come out in the light. So they don't have no shame. Verse 6, I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man. that there is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off, howsoever I punish them. But they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith Yah, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Why is it? In the third chapter of Zephaniah, when he's discussing and letting you know how he will deliver Jerusalem, that he's talking about destroying all these nations that have came up against you. He says in verse 9, for then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of Yah, to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed shall bring mine offering. In that day they shall not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then will I take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of thy my holy mountain. See, the Most High is going to deliver Jerusalem. But in delivering Jerusalem, he must bring down all these nations. They got to die, as I've been telling you. The sign of darkness, the third sign of darkness, Yahweh is going to kill for his servant. He's going to bring down for his servant. You see what he did to Egypt. And this is why I said that the thing that was done in Egypt, you'll never hear about again. You'll never see something like was done in Egypt. But you also never see something like Yah is going to do to the whole world. How do we know that you're never going to see something like Yahweh? You'll never see this again. It'll happen one time, it won't happen again. How do we know that? Go to the book of Jeremiah. The 16th chapter. We'll begin reading at the 14th verse. Or maybe I'll start a little earlier than that. Start at verse 10. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath Yahweh pronounced all this great evil unto us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against Yahweh our Elohim? What did we do? What did Yahweh say? Then thou shalt say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith Yah, and have walked after other Elohim, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law, and ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that ye know not, neither shall your fathers know. And there shall ye serve other deities day and night, where I will not show you favor. Verse 14, therefore, behold, the days come, saith Yah, that it shall no more be said, Yahweh liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But Yahweh liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land and that I gave to their fathers. As you see, this is why we know that as he destroyed Egypt for Israel's sake, Yah will bring down all the nations for Israel's sake. And who is Israel? Yahweh's servant. And what will he do for his servant? He'll kill everything that move against his people. There will not be anything left that came up against Yah's people. Go to the book of Joel, the third chapter. And by now, you have to understand why I'm going to the third chapter. Because we're dealing with the third sign of darkness. And what is the third sign of darkness? That there is a time to kill for Yah's servant's sake. Yahweh is going to do some killing for his servant. There's also a time to heal. And as we've read in every place, when he's killing somebody for his servant, he's healing his servant. When he's breaking down somebody for his servant, he's building up his servant. And in the book of Joel, the third chapter, it says in the first verse, "For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Yehuda and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre, in Sidon, in all the coast of Philistasia? Will ye render me a recompense? And if you will recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head?" Yes, he's out for the land of Lebanon, Sidon, and the coast of the Philistines, which you know as the Palestinians. Because even though the Palestinians and the Lebanese, and the Syrians, and the Jordanese, and the other nations surrounding the state of Israel today are very highly upset that the 45th president, which happens to be the order of three, declared that Jerusalem is the capital of the state of Israel. But this is not their land either. Just because they were there longer than the Edomites doesn't mean it's their land. And Yahweh has issue with them too. And they're going to get what they deserve in this order of three. And what is this order of three? What is this darkness that will come upon their heads? They're going to die. They're going to be brought down. He literally says in verse 2 of Joel, the third chapter, "I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will plead with them there." For who? For my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Verse 4 says, I read verse 4. Go to verse 5. It says, "Because ye have taken my silver and my gold and have carried you into your temples my goodly pleasant things, the children also of Yehuda and the children of Jerusalem have he sold unto the Grecians. That ye might remove them far from their border. Don't you see why the Most High is taking out his anger and his fury in the sign and in the season and in the time of the third? Because he is furious for what the nations have done to his servant. His anger has came for what the nations have done to his servant. Therefore, he has to kill and bring down his enemies in this time of darkness for what? For his servant. Verse 7 says, behold, I will raise them out of the place where you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Yehuda, and they shall sell them to the Sabians, to a people far off. And Yahweh, for Yahweh has spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up, beat your plowshares in the swords and your pruning hooks in the spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither, cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Yahweh. Let the heathen be weak, wakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye the sickle, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of Yahweh is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Again, why is it that the third chapter of the book of Yoel is describing killing and bringing down the enemies of the Most High? Because the third sign of darkness is not a sign for the goodness of the wicked. It's the sign of the destruction of the wicked. And it's going to be a dark time for the wicked. But this killing and this destroying is going to help and bring about the healing of our nation, the bringing up of our nation. Verse 15, and mind you, 15 is the order of one. But the sun and the moon shall be darkened, the exact opposite. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. No light, because it is for darkness. Verse 16, Yahweh also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But Yahweh will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am Yahweh your Elohim, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. And why is it that in the 17th verse, we see Yahweh mentioning that at this time, Jerusalem will be holy? Well, of course, as I've been showing you, The third is for Yah's servant, Yah's holy servant. And Yahweh's word does not come back void. And we can't, and I'm not the one, and Moray Ishai is not the one that put these signs in the book. We're not making this up. We didn't figure out a slick way to break down the chapters and verses and orders of the books. And we didn't figure that out. That's what Yahweh already did. Once Yahweh shows you his vision, his revelations, all you can do is speak them. That's what it says in the book. Just so you know, let me show you. Some people might think, man, y'all are just coming with these different numbers and books and talking about this sign of this number and this sign of this order. And look what Yahweh says. It's in the, again, third chapter of the book of Amos. Let me see. Verse 7. Surely, Yahweh will do nothing but what he revealeth his, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. See, whatever he reveals to his servants, let's see what they got to do. The lion has roared, who will not fear? Yahweh Elohim hath spoken, who can but prophesy? That's all you can do. That's all you can do. This is in the book. We didn't make up the signs of darkness. They were already in the book. And how do we know? Because there's signs of light. How do we know? Because it lets you know that the lights are for signs, seasons, days, and years. I think it was brought out yesterday that the wicked walk in the ways of darkness. Well, what are the ways of darkness? That's what we're showing you. Death happens to be one of the prevailing ways of darkness. Death all around. And we see that Yahweh has his signs of light have the exact opposite coinciding with them. Darkness. Because he makes light and creates darkness. He makes peace and creates evil. Yahweh Elohim does all these things. Verse 9 of Amos 3 says, published in the palaces of Ashdod and in the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof, and the oppressed, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. For they know not to do right, save Yah, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. That's what is going on in the darkness. And let me show you a couple more scriptures before we shut it down. Go on to the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, I believe I want the fourth chapter. In the 14th verse, where it says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fail. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. But the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So you see, the way of the wicked is darkness. They don't know what they stumbled on because they couldn't see. All the ways of the wicked lead to death. There's no way of wickedness, there's no way of darkness that I've seen that leads to life. And makes you think, if all this evil and if all this destruction and if all this calamity is done in darkness and you can't see in darkness, why would our people continue to let the heathens tell you that everything begins in darkness? Here it is. The word of Yah is all about light. First thing Yahweh did when he started creating was made some light. And everything good is in the light. Everything pretty and beautiful and magnificent is in the light. But everything grimy and dirty and evil and is in the dark. So how are we going to say a day starts in the darkness? A month starts in the darkness. A week starts in the darkness. A year starts in the darkness. How is anything going to grow in the darkness that's good? Well, that's because Yahweh didn't see everything that he made in the darkness and said it was good. Everything Yahweh made during the day, he said was good. Because it is in the light, as it says in the scriptures, light is sown for the righteous. And as we just read, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. But Yahweh has shown his servants what is dark. And on this third day, as we wrap up the seventh sign, which is the third sign, this is our seventh lesson on the signs of darkness. The third sign of darkness is that Yahweh is going to kill for his servant. And he's going to bring down the wicked for his servant. And everywhere I showed you tonight, Yahweh was killing his servant for his servant's sake and destroying for his servant's sake. Because in Ecclesiastes it said, in the third chapter, in the third verse, there's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to bring down and a time to build up. And into tomorrow night, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we. Hallelujah. Shalom.
Shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh, LOL. Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient as a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahshua who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy and his love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Yeah. Nothing but